Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Gimel. We left off Mem Beis Amud Beis at the two dots toward the end of the Amud, about five lines before the lines get wide. Today is a very difficult daf. We are going to just very confusing to follow the Shakla Vatari and the Gemara. Hopefully, we'll fight through it and be able to learn it a little bit more clearly. The Gemara is going to spend the bulk of the time continuing to darshan the psukim that are written regarding what happens or the circumstances in which a shor gores a person. So yesterday we spent virtually all of the time discussing the various drushas the day before as well, the various drushas that could be made from the statement in the pasuk that says ubala shor naki. What does it mean? Does it mean that the ox that's to be put to death by stoning is asur ba'anah? Does it mean something else that he's putter from other various payments? Today we are going to focus on the part of the pasuk that says if it's a shor amuad and it gores and it kills, and the pasuk says vehemis ish o isha, and if it kills a man or a woman, ashar yisakel v'gamba love you must, that the shar gets skila, and the master is chayev misa. So the Gemara is going to spend the bulk of the time discussing what it means when it says ish o isha, and then the Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph going on to Mem Gimel Amud Beis is going to be talking about, well, what happens if a shor kills somebody shelo b'kavana? All right, so in other words, it's not going to be chayiv misa. Let's say if a shor kills an eved without kavana, so the shor wouldn't get skila, but we know also that the master of the shor, the owner of the shor, has to pay a 30 shekel fine to the owner of the eved when the shor kills an eved, because 30 shekels, that's the extent of the fine that's charged. But the question is, usually the 30 shekel fine is paid in a case where the shor is liable for death by stoning if it killed b'kavana. What happens if it killed shelo b'kavana? Is the owner of the shor chayim in the 30 shekel payment? We're going to see an interesting shita. It's a shita of Rabba who seems to say that there were times where the owner would be putter from making this knas payment, but he would still be chayiv in some sort of damages payment, what the Gemara refers to as damim. So we'll explain what exactly that is, why that would be, the circumstances in which one might be mechuyev to pay this damim payment. So we'll see all of that. Again, very, very technical, dense Gemara. So we'll fight through it, hopefully make it through and be able to explain it properly. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Vehemis ish o isha. Again, five lines up from the five lines up from where the lines got wide, Membez and Mabez. Tana Rabbanan, Vehemis ish o isha. Amar Rav Yakiva v'chima bozel l'amdenu. What exactly did this pasuk come to teach us? Im l'chayev ala isha ki ish. If the chiddush of the pasuk is that your chayev, whether the ox gores a man or whether the ox gores a woman, harei kvar nemar. Well, we already have a pasuk that teaches this halacha to me. Ki igach shor es ish o es isha. So it says in the pasuk, ki igach shor es ish o es isha. So why would I think now to distinguish in the penalty that's given to the ox that kills somebody, depending on whether it kills a man or a woman? I already know that the halacha is the same whether it gores a man or a woman. Elilahakish isha le'ish, but it comes to compare a woman to a man. Ma ish nizkav liyarshav, just like by a man, if a nezek payment is owed to a man, but the man is dead, so you can't pay the nezek payment to the man. So who do you make the nezek payment to? You make the nezek payment to his yarshim. You make the nezek payment to his heirs, to his descendants, and not to his wife. Why? Because a woman al pi Torah is not yoresh her husband. A woman is not yoresh her husband. So afisha, so too, where a woman is owed a payment on account of having been gored, when a woman is owed a damages payment, nizkeh li yarsheha, then her nizikin payment that she's owed goes to her yarshim and not to her husband, even though usually bal yoresh es ishto, even though usually the husband is the first in line to be yoresh's wife. Here, the pasuk is comparing a woman to a man, just like by a woman who's owed a payment, just like by a man who's owed a payment, rather, his wife doesn't get it. So too, by a woman who's owed a payment, her husband doesn't get it, rather it goes to her Yarshim. So says the Gemara, V'savar Rav Akiva lo Yaris Labal, really Rav Akiva says that if the woman is owed a damage payment, then the payment is not made to her husband. We all of a sudden go immediately to her Yarshim. We don't make the payment to her husband. V'atanya, we learn in Ebraisa, V'yarash osa. It says in the pasuk v'yarash osa, and this is talking about the order of the Yerusha, the Seder HaYerusha, Mikan Shabal Yorosh HaSisto, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva learns from Yorosh HaSa that the husband is in fact Yorosh's wife. Now, if a husband is in fact Yorosh's wife, then the question is, why when a damages payment is owed to a woman, why, and the woman is dead, why would the payment be made to her Yarshim as opposed, in other words, to her descendants as opposed to the husband? If the husband is Yorosh the wife, why wouldn't the husband get the payment? So says the Gemara, Amar Eish Lokesh Lo Amar Ela B'Kofer. We're talking about a case of Kofer. Hol Ve'ein Mishtalim Ela L'Achar Misa. Since Kofer, which by definition, Kofer is a payment that the Baal HaShor has to make to the estate of the deceased when the Baal HaShor's ox gores and kills the person. So this is a payment that by definition was not owed to the person while the person was still alive, because the chiyuv to pay the kofar payment is triggered only upon death. Okay, so the person's already died when the kofar payment is earned. And therefore, it's a situation where the kofar payment is considered to be roi. What's roi? Roi is a payment that will ultimately come into the estate, but has not yet come into the estate. In other words, it's not there yet. The Siba for the payment being owed has not come to pass yet. It's not due and owing. It will become, it's like contingent, basically, as of the time of death. And the husband isn't Yoresh, the husband is not Yoresh by Roy the same way that he is by Muchzak. In other words, when is a husband, put another way, when is a husband Yoresh? A husband is Yoresh only things that are in the wife's estate when she dies. This kofar payment is not in the wife's estate when she dies, because it's not due and owing. It's not, you're not mechayev to pay kofar until after death. Since the chiyuv to pay kofar was not in existence at the time that she died, it's considered to be roy. It's considered to be a contingent payment, not muchzak. And ein abal yoresh karoy kibbut muchzak. Fine. That's why Rabbi Akiva would say that if the woman is owed a kofar payment on account of the goring, then who gets that kofar payment when she's dead? It would be her Yorshim, it would not be the Baal. So says the Gemara, my taima. So my taima. So what's the reason? So says Rashi to explain this question. What's the reason? My taima in kofar mishalim ela lachar misa. Afal gav dechsiv vehemis neima dekiven shamdu lamisa lishalim lechayim. How do we know that the kofar payment isn't paid until after death? Maybe, let's say, the ox gores somebody and does an incredible amount of that, mortally wounds somebody, right? So we could get a team of doctors there, and the team of doctors can make an assessment, what is the likelihood that this person survives? And the team of doctors can ascertain that there is a zero likelihood that this person is going to survive. So maybe from that time already, even before death, you are going to be mechayev the kofar payment. And therefore, if you're mechayev the kofar payment before death, then it would not be a case of roi. And if it's not a case of roi, then who should be yorisher? The husband should be yorisher, not her yorshim. So says the Gemara, Amar Kra v'hemis ish o isha, hashor yisakel v'gamba love you must, im kofar yushasa love. That you can't say that the kofar payment is triggered before death, because it says in the psukim when the kofar payment is triggered. The kofar payment, it comes into, the kofar obligation comes into effect at the time that the shor is chayev skila. When's the shor chayev skila? Only after the victim dies. So too, the kofar payment only crystallizes after the victim dies. Therefore, it is a case of roi. Ein abal yoresh karoi kebamuchzak. That's why the yarshim of the woman take the kofar payment and not the husband. So says the Gemara, uvenezikin lo, amar Rabbi Akiva, and by And by Nezikin, Ravi Akiva doesn't say that the Baal isn't Yarish's wife. In other words, what we're trying to explain now is that the only time when Ravi Akiva said that the Yarshim get the payment that's due to her and not the Baal, that's only by Kofar. But the Mashmos is that a regular Nezikin payment would be Muchzak. It would be the obligation to pay would already exist at the time the woman died. And so by a regular Nezikin payment, the Mashmos is that Ravi Akiva would hold that the husband of the woman gets it and not her Yarshim. But is that true? That Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that Ein Abal Yorish Es Ishto even by regular Nezikin. Vatanya, by we learn in a Braisa, Hika Es Isha V'Yatzuv L'Adea. If you hit a woman and she miscarries, no sein nezek v'tzar l'isha, then you give the nezek and the tzar to the woman, v'dmei vlados l'bal, and you give the dmei vlados, and you give the dmei vlados, you give the compensation for the miscarried fetus to the bal. Ein abal, if there is no bal around to give the dmei vlados to, no sin liyarshav, then you give it to the yarshim of the bal. Ein ha'isha, if there is no woman around to give the nezek and the tsar to, and again, this is talking about regular nezek that's due and owing to the woman even before she's dead. This is not a case of kofar, where it would be a case of roi, but ein ha'isha, no sin es liyarshav. If the woman is not around, then you give it to her yarshim. This is where the kasha is going to be, but the brisa continues. So we see over here, because we see from here that if the woman is not around, then who do you give the nezikin payment to? Even if it's a regular nezikin payment, you don't give it to the husband. You give it to her yarshim, even though it's a regular nezikin payment. So we see that Rabbi Akiva says that ein abal yorish es ishto benezikin, even by a regular nezikin payment. Now says the brisa continues over here. Haisa shifcha v'nishtachreres. If she was a shifcha and she was freed, meaning that she basically doesn't have any yarshim. Tosfa says that it's lav davka by a shifcha who was freed. It's also a case of a Yisraelis who marries a ger, where the dmei vlados are going to go to her husband. And the fact that we talk about a shifcha shemeshachreres is because it's the general case. Where a shifcha mishachreres is going to marry an eved mishuchrar, and a stam giores is going to marry a ger. That's why the Gemara sets up the cases like this, because minastam people marry other people who have a similar yichus to them. But what's this case that we're talking about? I said shifcha v'nishachra. If she's a shifcha and she's freed, turning over to Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, O giores, or if she's a giores, then zacha hamazik. Then who's zocha in the nizik payment? It's going to be the mazik is going to be zocha. Wait. The mazik is going to be zocha. Why is the mazik going to be zocha? The mazik is the one who owes the payment. The mazik is the one who owes the payment to the woman. So the answer is that the reason that the mazik is zocha is because over here by the nezek, you have to give the nezek to the woman. If the woman dies, then you give it to the yarshim. What do we know about a giores, or what do we know about a ger, or if you have an eved who's freed? They don't have any yarshim. And so if they don't have any yarshim, then their property is hefker. If their property is hefker, kula kodem zacha. Who's the first person to be zoche to the payment that's being made? Well, the first person is being zoche to the payment that's being made is the guy who's literally handing over the payment, i.e. the mazik. Therefore, he's going to be zoche. So that's the wrinkle that applies only in a situation where the woman who was harmed is a giores or a shifcha neshachra. Mikol makom, what we see from this brisa is that what we see from this brisa is that even by regular nezikin, the baal is not Yorish's wife, as we pointed out a minute ago. Rather, her yarshim get it. So don't tell me that Rabbi Akiva is going to touch up the case only by kofar, where the baal is not Yorish's wife. We see that the halacha is that the baal is never Yorish's wife by nezikin. And the question is, why not? If the Baal is always Yorish's wife, then why should Nezikin be any different? Why would the Baal not be Yorish's wife in the case of Nezikin? So I'm a Rabba. So says Rabba Begrusha, that we're talking about a case of Grusha. And Rashi says, therefore, you have to give the payment to the Yorshim, because the husband divorced his wife, after the chavala, after the damage. Why does Rashi say that the husband divorced the wife even after the damage? Because if the husband divorced the wife before the damage, then it would be pashut that he has no entitlement to the damage payment because he wasn't even married to her any longer at the time the damage took place. But he was married at the time that the damage took place. Then in the interim between the damage and the time, between the time of the damage and the time of the payment, he divorced his wife. So says the Gemara, so Amri Grusha Nami Tiflug Bidmei Vlados. However, if we're talking about a grusha, then the other part of the brisa doesn't make sense because we had said that if it's a damage payment, then it goes to the woman, and if it's a Dmei Vlados payment, then it goes to her husband. But if they're divorced, why is the husband getting all of the Dmei Vlados? The Dmei Vlados should be split evenly, l'chora, between the man and the woman. So if we're talking about a case of a divorce, why is the husband entitled to 100% of the Dmei Vlados? Samara Papa, Torah zachsa Dmei Vlados labal, because the Torah said that the Baal, that the husband, the man who's responsible for the seed that gives rise to these Vlados, gets the Dmei Vlados. Afilu Baal Le'ah Biznus. Not only does he get the Dmei Vlados if they're divorced at the time that the Dmei Vlados is owed, but he gets Dmei Vlados even if he was Baal, a woman, Biznus, even if he was never legally married to her. The Boel still gets Dmei Vlados. My time, what's the reason for this? I'm akra, because it says in Pasuk, Kasher Yoshes Alav Baal Ho'isha. Because it talks about a payment being made to the Baal Ho'isha. So, says Rashi, if the Kavana was that her husband gets it, that only Dafka, a husband, gets it, it would have said, Kasher Yoshes Alav Baala, which Baala connotes husband. Why does it say Baal Isha? Because the focus is on the word Baal Isha, Boel Ho'isha. That whoever is Boel, a woman, whether he's married to her, whether he's divorced from her, even if there was a Bila Biznus, even if he was Stambol, a woman, he is still going to always get the Dmei Vlados. Now, so says the Gemara, why do you have to interpret this Brisa why does Rabbah have to interpret this Brisa that the reason that the Yarshim of the woman and not her husband are entitled to the Nezikin payment is because they're divorced? Why don't we say that we're dealing with a situation where, yeah, it's an Nezikin payment, but given the way that the payment is collected or given the way that the payment is tendered, it's considered to be ro'i and not muchsak, and ein abal yoresh k'roi k'bamuchsak. So why don't we say like this, v'nukmo l'rabba k'gon shagavu mos, u'l'rav nachman k'gon shagavu karka. Why don't we say, according to Rabba, that gavumos, that the damage payment was paid, it was tendered in the form of money, and according to Rav Nachman, that the damage payment was collected from karka, and these mandiyamrim hold that when you collect payment in this manner, according to Rabba, when you collect money, according to Rav Nachman, when you collect karka, it's considered to be a case of ro'i. So if we can establish that there was an Ezekin payment, that if there's an Ezekin, so let's just finish this thought. Dima Rabba, govu karka yeshlo, because Rabba says that if you're gova karka, then yeshlo. What does it mean, yeshlo? So over here, we're talking about a slightly different situation. Over here, we're talking about a case where a bechor and a bunch of pshutim, where a firstborn and then a bunch of other kids are trying to divide an estate. And we know that there is a halacha that the biblical laws of Yerusha are that the bechor is notel pishnayim. But the bechor has the same din as the husband, and that ain a bechor notel pishnayim b'roi k'vamuchsa. Let's say a debt was owed to the father, and they collect the debt. So is that debt that was collected, is that considered to be part of the estate? So Rabbah says, well, if they collected karka, then it is considered to be muchsuk. Why? Because Rabbah will say that the karka was meshubad to payment of the debt, even mechayim, even in the lifetime of the father, and therefore it's considered to be muchsuk. However, Gavumo saying, "Lo, if they collected stam money, then the Bechor does not have a Pishnayim claim because this is not Muchzuk, rather it's Roy." Rav Nachman Amar Gavumos Yeshlo. Rav Nachman says that if they collected money, then it's considered to be Muchzuk. Why is it considered to be Muchzuk? There was no Shibud on the money that was collected. Well, it's considered to be Muchzuk because why does the Lova owe the deceased money? The Lova owes the deceased money because the dead guy loaned money to the Lova. So he loaned money. Now we're collecting money. Even though money's fungible, it's considered to be the same money. So the money was owed. It's as if there was a it's as if the money was muchzuk even mechayim. However, gavukarka ain't low. However, Rav Nachman says that if they collected from karka, then if they collected from karka, then ain lo, then the bechor doesn't have a chelek apishnayim. Why? Because karka is not the thing that was loaned. You're not taking back the thing that was loaned. Therefore, it's considered to be as if it's a new payment. So we see the bottom line is we see machlokas Rabba Rav Nachman. What type of payments is considered to be roi? What type of payments is considered to be muchzuk? But according to both of them, there is a type of payment which, if it's paid on account of a regular obligation, is considered to be roi. So if you're going to try to concoct a case where the husband is not yorish his wife, even though it's a regular damages payment, so why do you have to come on to a case where they're divorced? Just say it's a case where the payment is made from a source that renders the payment roi. Ein enabal yorish keroi kebemuchzuk. So says the Gemara, Samri Hani Mili Livnei Ma'arava, because that's only according to the Chachamim, that's only according to the Chachamim from Ma'arava, according to the Chachamim who live in Eretz Yisrael, that the Rabbanon say that a Chov is Choshev Karoi. Aliba Ki Kamri Aliba Karebi. I was interpreting, though, according to Rebbe, that Rebbe says that a Bechor is notel pishnayim by any chov. Why? Because it's considered to be muchzuk. So in other words, you're going to ask me, why don't I deal with a situation where we have a chov and the chov's a roi? Because only the chachamim say that the chov's a roi, and that it depends whether, that to turn it into a muchzuk depends on how I'm taking the payment. According to Rebbe, however, the chov is always a muchzuk. There's a machlokas rishonim whether the idea of a chov being a muchzuk only applies by a milveh b'shtar or even by a milveh al peh. It would appear that if we're likening it to this case of a damage payment, then the damage, there is no shtar on a damage payment, obviously. So it would appear that this whole machlokas or this whole yesod would apply even in a case of milveh al peh. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, two dots. So now the Gemara switches gears, starts a new conversation. So Amar Rav Shimon, it gets a little bit easier from here as well. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Shor Shehemes Esa Eved, Shelo B'Kavana. Let's say if you have a Shor that kills an Eved, Shelo B'Kavana, Potter Mishloshim Shkalim, and you're potter from making the 30 shekel payment of the fine to the owner of the Eved, Shinemar Kesef Shloshim Shkalim Yitin Lado Nava, Shor Yisakel. Calls Mancha Ashar Baskila Baila Mishalman Shloshim Shkalim, Ain Ashar Baskila, Ain Abal Mishalman Shloshim Shkalim. Okay, so I'm a rabba. Shor Shahim is Ben Choren Shaloba Kavana. Now, Ashar that kills a regular person, a free man Shaloba Kavana, Patar Mi Kofar. You don't have to make the Kofar payment. Again, the Kofar payment is the payment that you would have to pay to the Nizak when your Shor kills him. So, and why? Same rationale. Shanemar Ashar Yisakel Vagamba Love You Must. It says that Ashar Yisakel Vagamba Love You Must, Im Kofar Yushasa Love. Calls Mancha Ashar Beskila Bala Mishalman Kofar. Ain Ashar Beskila, Ain Balim Mishalman Kofar. Whenever the Shor is not put to death, then the Baal is not Mechayev, then the Baal is not going to be Mechayev to pay. Then the Baal is not going to be mechayev to pay kofar. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So Eisvei Abaya, Safrekt Abaya Kasha. So Hamish Shorius Ploni. If a guy comes into court and says my shor killed somebody, O Shoro Shal Ploni, or my shor gored the ox belonging to somebody else, Hareza Mishalem Al Piatzmo, that he has to pay Al Piatzmo. Well, he has to pay Al Piatzmo. The guy came into court and he basically admitted, my shor killed somebody else. Now, we know that the shor would not get skila for this type of admission. Why? Because kamisas habaylem kachmisas hashor. In order to put the shor to death, you require bona fide edus, just like you would when you're putting a person to death. And this is a case of hadas baldin, that a person cannot be put to death on account of his own admission, nor can a person be put to death on account of the testimony of an ed echad. But over here we see that if the guy comes into court and says, my shor killed somebody else, then it says, Hareza Mishalem Al Piatzmo. So doesn't this mean that you have to pay kofar? and we're assessing the kofar payment, even though the shor wouldn't get skila, because the shor is not going to get skila on account of the adas baldin. So my love kofar. So doesn't this mean that he has to pay the kofar payment, even though the animal's not going to get skila? Says the Gemara, lo damim. What it means is damim. What's damim? So says Rashi like this, and this is a chiddush. This is a new concept that we're being introduced to today. So damim is hadiktani. So says Rashi, hadiktani mishalim lav betoras kofar diniboy kapara. It's not betoras kofar in that you require kapara. Da filo lo mishalim nami kigon iisle nichse lav bechlal oneshu, because you are not, because this guy doesn't deserve a punishment. Ain kofar below skila the shor. Aval hecha the isle nichse. However, where you have nechasim, in other words, the owner of the shor has nechasim, al karchach mishalim damim. Then you even though you don't make a kofar payment to the estate of the deceased, you still have to make a nezek payment. You have to make an ezekin payment. Why? To lagara misa min ezekin. Why? The ilu iske afalgav the inav eskila boy lishlumele piches dama vareza mishalim dama vliarshav. Because let's say the animal gored somebody and didn't kill the person, so of course you're going to have to pay an ezekin payment to the guy who you damaged. So too, when you kill the person, even though you're not going to have to make a payment betoras kofar, you're still going to have to make a payment. You're still going to have to make a payment betoras nezekin. Tosfos over here goes through a bunch of nafkaminas. Tosfos goes through over here a bunch of nafkaminas between kofar and damim. Because remember, we saw machlokas whether kofar is paid. How do we assess the kofar? Whether it's demei nizak or demei mazik, right? Do we value the mazik on the slave market and tell him that he has to pay that amount in kofar, or do we value the nizak in the slave market? So according to the Man Yamar, who says that kofar is a payment that's assessed by valuing the nizak in the slave market, what in the world is the difference between a kofar payment and this damim payment? The damages that you would pay to the nizak are obviously assessed by valuing the nizak on the slave market and seeing how much he would fetch. So Tosfos has a bunch of nafkaminas. So he says, number one, there's a nafkamina whether the nizak is able to be mochel the payment. Because if kofar is a kapara, then the mazik doesn't achieve a kapara unless he actually makes the payment. And therefore, the nizak can't be mochel, because the nizak can't take away the mazik's ability to get a kapara. However, by a damim payment, if it's tam a damages payment, then the nizak would be able to be mochel. There's also a nafkamina if the mazik dies, where he's not going to get a kapara anyway, then his heirs would not make the kofar payment. But if it's a damages payment, then the heirs would have to make the damages payment. There's another nafkamina, if we're going to be, we saw machlokas a couple of days ago, whether we're memashkenin le kofar, whether we have to take collateral security to ensure that the person makes the kofar payment. We saw, is he definitely going to make it because he's very serious about getting a kapara, or maybe he doesn't take it as seriously as a karbon, but certainly by a damim payment, we would be memashkein. We would take collateral security. So there's a bunch of nafkaminas between a kofar payment and a damim payment. But where we are back in the Gemara, where we're going to pick up again five lines up from the bottom of the page, is that I had thought that when a guy comes into court and makes an admission, my ox killed somebody, when it says that Hareza Meshalem al piatzmo, we thought that it meant that he pays the kofar payment, even though we had said previously that you only pay kofar when the ox is put to death by stoning. We answered, no, we're not talking about a kofar payment, we're talking about damim. So he damim, but if it's a damim payment, ema seifa, if it's tam damages, then look at what the seifa says. Hamis shorius avdo shalploni, Ainam Ashalam al Piatzmo. Then he doesn't have to pay. Now, okay, now the dumim, and if we're talking about dumim, am I low? Why wouldn't he have to pay? So in other words, if we're talking about the 30 shekel fine, I get it. Just like you only pay the 30 shekel fine when the animal's put to death. Just like you only pay kofar when the animal's put to death. But if we've already established, and now when we talk about payment, we're talking about paying a damages payment, why wouldn't you pay a damages payment to the owner of the Eved when you admit, al piatzmo, that your ox killed the Eved? So says the Gemara, Amar le yichil me lishnui lecha reisha damim mesefa knas. So I could have answered that the reisha by bet chorin, that's when we're talking about that you're making a payment of damages. The seifa by an eved, we're not talking about a damages payment. We're talking about the 30 shekel fine payment, the knas payment. And that knas payment, you don't pay, you don't make, unless the animal is put to death by stoning. So you could have said that the reisha and the seifa are talking about different types of payment. But however, I don't want to push you off giving you a very difficult answer, because it's not mistaber to say that they're talking about different types of payments. Rather, both of them are talking about the damages payments. Now, why would I distinguish between the halacha in the case of a ben chorin and the halacha in the case of an eved? Miu ben chorin the mishalim kofar al piatzmo. However, by a ben chorin, where you would be mishalim kofar, where you would pay kofar al piatzmo. Really? You pay kofar al piatzmo? Ve'echidami. And when would you pay kofar al piatzmo, says the Gemara, di asu sadi v'sidu be dekotel, because when, if there are witnesses to the goring, there are witnesses who come and say that my ox gored somebody else and killed him, v'liyadi itamu yimuadhu, however, we don't know whether the shor is a shor tam or a shor muad, v'amar mori demuadhu, and then the master comes and says that the shor is a shor muad, demishalim kofar al piatzmo. In that case, the person would pay kofar al piatzmo. Why would the person pay kofar al piatzmo? Again, because we said that you only pay kofar when the animal is put to death by stoning. If the only edus on the goring was his own admission, then the animal wouldn't be put to death, because that's hodas baldin. Here we have edus on the goring. We're only lacking edus on whether it's a tam or a muad. So the shor is going to be put to death anyway, because whether it's a tam or whether it's a muad, this shor gets skila if it kills somebody. The kofar payment, so the kofar payment is going to be on his own. Now, why could the kofar payment be on his own admission? Because kofar is a kapara, it's not a knas, and therefore we don't have the principle of moda b'knas pater to worry about. So kofar, so that's a case, that's a situation where you're mishalim kofar al piyasmo. Again, very important to remember, only in a case where there's independent edus on the goring, so that the animal could be put to death by skila via the edim. Okay? But in that case, you could be mechayev kofar by your own admission that the animal was a muad. So echad laka edim mishalim damim. Therefore, when there is no edus on the goring, then you would have to pay damim for your own admission. Gabe eved she'ena mishalim knas al piatzmo. However, by an eved, you would never pay knas al piatzmo. In other words, if you overlaid these facts, however, dealing with an eved, you would never be mishalim knas al piatzmo. Even if there was other edus on the goring and you stam came and said, yeah, my ox was a muad, you wouldn't be mechayev the 30 shekel fine for that admission. Why? Because mod beknas potter. So ve'echadami di asu edim vasidu be dekotel v'yada itamu yimuadu v'amar mare muadu, and the master and the owner said that it was a muad, lo mishalim knas al piatzmo. You would never pay a knas al piatzmo. Therefore, hecha deleka edim lo mishalim damim. So that's the answer. Because by ben chorin, it's possible to pay the kofar payment al piatzmo when there were edim on the goring itself. Therefore, when there are no edim, you're mechayev to pay monetary, you're mechayev to pay damages. However, by an eved, when you're never mishalim the 30 shekel fine al piatzmo, you are also not going to be mechayev damages when there are no edim, when it's only on his own admission. So masav Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, so Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak gets the kasha, kol shechayev ben chorin chayev eved, but we have a brisa that tells us that whatever you're chayev in a ben chorin, you're chayev by an eved, bein bekofer, bein bemisa. Whether it has to do with a din of kofar or whether it has to do with a din of misa. Now, really? So kofar ba'avdi mi'ika? So anything that I'm chayev by ben chorin, I'm chayev by an eved, including kofar? There is no kofar by an eved. There's a shloshim shekel fine, but there's no kofar. So kofar b'eved mi'ika, ela lav damim. So elamai, we're talking about damim. We're talking about a damages payment. And this brisa tells me that any damages payment that I'm chayev to make by ben chorin, I'm going to be chayev to make by an eved. So says the Gemara, ika damri humosiv la vu mefarik la. Ika damri amale rabba. So some say that he answered the kasha himself. Some say that rabba answers hachaktani. Kol shechayev ben chorin b'chavana al pi edim kofar. Anytime by a ben chorin, you would be chayev if the animal killed b'chavana al pi edim, and then the owner would be chayev to pay kofar chayev b'eved knas. Under those circumstances, you would be chayev to make the 30 shekel fine payment to the eved. V'chol shechayev ben chorin shelo b'chavana al pi edim damim. And any time by a ben chorin where the ox kills shaloba kavana al piedim, so the ox wouldn't be put to death, you're not going to be chayav a kofar payment, but you would be chayav a damages payment, and chayav be'eved shaloba kavana al piedim damim, then you're going to be chayav where the ox kills an eved shaloba kavana al piedim, then you're going to be chayav that same damages payment. But if there are no edim, And if there's only a hodas baldin, then there's going to be a chiluk between an eved to a ben chorin, because then we come on to the situation: am I a moda beknas? The damages payment is not a knas, or the kofar rather is not a knas, because it's kapara. The damages payment is a knas, and a moda beknas is going to be pater. So that's why there's a distinction. There's a distinction only in the case where there are no edim, and the only mechayev here is the hodas baldin. Samarle Rava Ihachi, if this is the case, then Esho Shaloba Kavana, if a person's fire damages something Shaloba Kavana al pi edim, and there are edim, the shalim damim, then he should pay monetary damages. Uminole la Rava Dilo Mishalim Damim. And how do we know? But okay, so in order for this to be Akasha, we have to know that Rava says that we don't pay damim over here. So how do we know that you don't pay damim for Aish? So Ilayim Mbaditan, if it's from this Mishnah where it says Hayagdi Kafuslo, if there is an animal bound to a stack of produce, for Eved Samachlo, and an Eved that's near it, Venisrafimo, and the Gdi or the Eved is burned along with the produce, then Chayev, then you're going to be Chayev on the Gdi, because the Gdi was bound there, and there was no way for the Gdi to escape. But Rashi says you're putter on the Eved. Why are you putter on the Eved? You're putter on the Eved because the Eved was Tom standing there and he should have run away. Eved Kafuslo, the Gdi Samachlo, if the Eved was tied up there and the Gdi was only near the stack, Venisrafimo, and was burnt together, then putter. Then he's going to be putter. Why is he going to be putter? So he's going to be putter on the eved because the gdi should have escaped because the gdi was just standing there, and the eved you're going to be putter from because it's kamle b'derabamine. So I'm a Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish says it's kagon shehitzis begufo shel eved. So I'm sorry. So Venisrafimo putter. So in that case, so we see that you're putter from making the payment to the Eved. So here's how we know that we don't assess the Nezek payment by Esho. Says by Isha by fire. So says the Gemara, no. You don't see from here that you don't assess the damages payment by fire. The reason that you're putter here, Amar Reish Lakish go and sheets begufo shel eved, the kamalei b'derabamine. The only reason that you're putter for making the payment to the eved has got nothing to do with whether you're mechayev to make a nezek payment by fire. It's got to do by the fact that we're not talking about a case where you set fire to the stack of produce. You literally set fire to the eved. Now, if you literally set fire to the eved and you kill him, then you're chayev misa. That's why. So we learn it from this brisa. Detanya chumra be'esh me b'bar. There are chumras. The esh is more chumra than bar. Why? She'esh mo'ades la'echol bein davar aroy la'bein davar shein roy la. Because an esh eats anything, whatever is in his path. Mashen came b'bar. Ve'ilu she'esh mishlamish lo b'kavana damim. Mashen came b'bar loktani. And we don't say in the brisa that another chumra by esh is that an esh pays damim even if it damages shelo b'kavana. So it's obvious that we don't pay damages by a fire shelo b'kavana. So dumla tana v'shir. Well, maybe. Maybe the Brisa left out some of the chumras that an Eish has over Bar. Elarava gufa iboy mi boy late. Rava himself asked this kasha. Isha shaloba kavana, mi mishalim damim olo. He himself asked the kasha, does an Eish shaloba kavana, but by an Eish shaloba kavana, do you pay damages payment or not? Mi amrin angabe sharhu, diba kavana mishalim kofar, shaloba kavana mishalim damim. Maybe it's only by a shar where if it killed bakavana, then you would be mechayev a kofar payment, therefore if it kills shaloba kavana, then you're mechayev a damages payment. Aval isha diba kavana lo, mishalim kofar. However, by a fire where bakavana, you're not mishalim kofar because you only pay kofar by Karen, Therefore, if a kill, if somebody dies in the fire that was set, if the killing was unintentional, then there would not be a damages payment. Odilma, given the gabe shoro shalaba kavana afagav deleka kofer mishalim damim gabe eshonami afagav de kavana la mishalim kofer shalaba kavana mia mishalim damim. So maybe there's a reason to assume that by esh you might pay, you might owe a damim payment, even though a regular damages payment, even though there is no chiyuv to pay kofer v'liadinan, and he didn't know, and he didn't know the answer. Teku, so we left it. So we left it as a. So we left it as a teku. So tomorrow we'll continue again with the case of Kofra. I'd hope to get a little further, but we're out of time. And then we go on to interpreting the end of the Mishnah, Benigach, Obasigach, and hopefully the Gemara will get a little bit easier.